Welcome. This is Kathleen Pearl. This is Hebrews 4, a study on the book of Hebrews. This portion, we will deal with Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through Hebrews 5, 14, the high priesthood of Yeshua. Father, I thank you. I praise you. Lord, I pray that you would come in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would teach us, Lord, about the high priesthood, that you would come and anoint me with the gift of teaching, Lord, that those that would hear, their ears would be anointed in their hearts, and that you would open them up and give them deep understanding of what the priesthood is in Yeshua, the Messiah. And I thank you for this, Lord, because you are gracious and kind to us. And we want to understand you and your role in our lives and in eternity. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hebrews 4:14, our compassionate high priest. Now, the verse before in 13, verse 13 said, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So this means God sees everything. He sees the intents of our heart. He knows what's going on before a word is in it. He has knowledge of that. And this is an attribute of God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And we're going to give account to him about even the contents of our heart. Verse 14, seeing then that as we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So here, the author is making a statement. Now, this all-knowing God, all-seeing God, the eyes of him, he sees everything. We have this high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He was raised in Acts first. He was raised from the dead. And then in Acts, the first chapter, from the Mount of Olives, after 40 days, after Passover, and he was raised from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and the disciples saw him. And the angel said, why do you keep staring? This Jesus whom you saw leave this way will also return this way. And so they went to wait for him to return. So they saw him going up into heaven. So we need to hold fast Jesus, the Son of God, as our confession. He is our Savior. Yahshua means Savior. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So this high priest, Yeshua, has lived a life like an ordinary man and knew the weaknesses of the flesh and the way men and women were designed and operated. And he was tempted. He was hungry. He had the discomforts of this life and the toil of labor, all these things that we go through, and he can sympathize with us. And he was tempted, but he was without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when we hold to Jesus, the Son of God, when we hold this confession, then we can come to him in the heavenly realm, and we can petition him concerning our weaknesses and our temptations, so that we can find mercy and grace. And he will hear us. See, there's no other way to the Creator God. Yeshua took our place of sin. He was the Lamb slain. He was our Savior from the foundations of the earth. And he went to heaven. And it was seen. There were eyewitness testimonies that saw him go to heaven. And their confessions and their testimonies have been put down in the Bible, that we can know that we can go to a high priest that hears us. If we go to and he has compassion for us. He sympathizes with us. We can find mercy and grace through Yeshua to God. He is our mediator. So he has compassion for us. So we hold fast our confession. Hebrews 5. Now this portion will discuss the qualifications for high priesthood. And this is in the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood in Exodus and Numbers sets up the pattern for the priesthood. And this pattern was a type of who Yeshua was. God released the Old Testament priesthood so that we could understand the role of Yeshua with the Father in heaven to us, the role that he plays to mediate for us. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may both offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. So here he's talking about the priesthood, the Old Testament priesthood. And they had a high priest among the men, among all the Levitical priests, a high priest was chosen to go in on Yom Kippur one day a year, the Day of Atonement, and offer the sins, sacrifices for the sins of the people. And God said, this is how you need to do it. This is how I want it done. And these are the gifts and these are the sacrifices. You have to, so many lambs, so many bulls, so much wheat, so much flour. I mean, so many offerings that they had to give. And so there was a temple sacrifice and priesthood instituted. He, verse 2, can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weaknesses. So here it's talking about the priest can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray because he has weaknesses, and then he understands that we need to have a sacrifice for a sin or because of our lack of knowledge of what God requires. So we have a priest and what he requires to make atonement for our sins. Verse 3, because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sin. So the thought here is that the priest offers the sacrifices for the sins of the people, and also for himself, for his sins, he offers sacrifices, because the earthly priesthood, or priest among men, as it says, understand that we're sinners. We're ignorant about God's way. We go astray, and we're subject to these weaknesses in the flesh. Verse 4, and no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So Aaron was the high priest, and God is the one that appointed the high priest. It was not by the subject of man, it was by the ordaining of God. God said, Aaron will be my high priest. And so you had to do it God's way in order to be accepted by God. A priest forever. Verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he, that is the Creator Father, who said to him, that is to Yeshua, you are my son, today I have begotten you. So the first thing the author is establishing here is that the Son of God was Yeshua, the Messiah, was Christ Jesus. And this particular scripture is in Psalm 2, which is a great messianic psalm. And then verse 6 says, as he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And this is very interesting because this is taken from Psalm 110, which is very similar to Psalm 2. They say, in fact, they're almost identical, except for a couple of lines in them, and one of which is Psalm 2 does not have the reference to Melchizedek, whereas Psalm 110 does. In verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So here he's saying this high priest Yeshua is God's son. He is the Messiah. In the two messianic psalms, Psalm 2 and Psalm 110, which announce the Messiah's reign, and it's after the order of Melchizedek. It's not after the order of Aaron that he refers to up here. Aaron's priesthood was the priesthood of man until the Son of God came, and he is the greater priesthood. Well, let's look at the priesthood of Melchizedek in Genesis 14, 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Well, this is interesting. We do not know very much about this Melchizedek, king of Salem. Salem meant peace, and so in that respect, he was the king of peace. Melchizedek, we don't know his genealogy. We don't know where he came from. He was just the king of Salem. Not only was he a king, though, he was the priest of God Most High. So he was a priest and king. And he blessed him. This is Abraham, the king of Melchizedek. Blessed Abraham. He brought out bread and wine to Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." This is a reference to the captivity of Lot, and Abraham went with some soldiers and delivered him and rescued him. And he gave him a tithe of all. So Melchizedek gave Abraham a tithe. 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I've raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I've made Abraham rich,' except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." So Abraham did not receive the tithe from Melchizedek. Back to Hebrews 5, verse 7. So this is the priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So here was this king and priest of the Lord God Most High just shows up. This mysterious Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. So here it's describing Yeshua when he was on the earth, the days of his flesh. He offered up prayers and supplications with cries and tears to God, his Father, the Creator, who was able to save him from death, and was heard by the Lord because of his godly fear. 8. Verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, I can't even imagine. This verse has always just absolutely astounded me. Here is the Son of God, who it said he was tempted and there was no sin in him, and yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And this scripture God gave me when I was going through a time of tremendous suffering and thought I could not bear it anymore. And the Lord said, "You're following in the steps of your Savior. You are surrendering to obedience, even to possibly death on a cross. You do not love your life even unto death in order to be obedient to God." As in Job, it says, when Job was going through his sufferings, and Job is the first known written book of the Bible. The Torah was written afterwards, and Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Because should we not take good, and should we not take evil from the hand of God? We will be, and having been perfected, okay, so if God, Yeshua, is perfected by suffering, then he becomes the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So here, if the Lord will author his salvation, the Lord Jesus will author his salvation through us, if we are obedient to him. And it's very important that we do so and come into that. 10, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so he's saying that Melchizedek was a type of high priest and king, and that Yeshua is a high priest and a king who has this type of calling that was in the Old Testament. In other words, it's not after the Aaronic order, Aaron the high priest. It's not after the human honor. It's not a man priesthood of men. It's from a king and a priest of the Most High God that came out of nowhere. And Abraham gave him a tithe of all. He gave a tithe of all he had to Melchizedek. And this priest is like Yeshua. He did not come from an earthly line. He came from God himself. You are my son. Today I have begotten you, it says in verse 5. So from the Father provided the Son, his only Son, not out of the lineage of man, but from the very throne of the Father in heaven. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Well, we want to open our ears and hear this, what the writer of Hebrew has to say about who this Yeshua is, who the high priest is, and what his role is to play in our redemption, and how we can come to him in prayer, and he will help us with his mercy and his great grace. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, I feel this is a scolding. The author is going to scold his students. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 12. So here he's saying this is baby stuff. You should understand that who Yeshua is as God, that you need someone again to bring you back to the oracles of God. The oracles of God is the very words of God, or oracles are the sayings of God. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So if we have to go again and come back to the basics, then you are unskilled in understanding the word of God. You're still a babe. You don't understand the righteousness that God has imparted to us through his Son. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age, those who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is very important, okay? This is the definition of spiritual maturity and understanding this solid food, the mature teachings of the Word of God. Not milk, but meat. And those who are in this category, who understand the Word of God, they have their senses exercised. In other words, their world is not governed by the external world anymore. They are able to discern good and evil. That part of maturity is understanding the scriptures and the solid food, the solid teachings. That is what gives us the ability to discern good and evil. Babies are still struggling with what does God require and what is the whole the gospel about, and what are our sins, and what is the sacrifice about, and they'll go astray. And so this is why the word of God, becoming skilled in the words of righteousness, in other words, what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. And we become skilled in that by coming again to the oracles of God and understanding the oracles of God. This is very important that we do that, and that we sit under teachers who are skilled in doing that. This is very important because we need to know, in a world that we live where everyone is trying to compromise and adapt and be politically correct or syncretic, as they call it, syncretism. You know, all there are many different ways to God and heaven. No, there's not. There's only one way. And the oracles of God, written in the Holy Scriptures, God has given us to show us the elementary principles so that we can build and become skilled in righteousness and discern good and evil. So it's very important to study your Bible and read it and ask questions and dig into it and find out the deep treasures. Father, I thank you. I'm asking, God, that you take these words and that these are the pearls of great price, who Yeshua is. And we thank you, Lord, that you open your treasures of heaven and the treasures of your word and your teachings to us, that we might become skilled in righteousness. And that is our aim, Lord Jesus. We want to understand the oracles of God, the sayings of God, and become teachers and skilled in rightly dividing and opening up your word, Lord, so that we can discern between good and evil. Thank you for your great gift and your great grace to enable us to do it. Thank you for your mercy, and that you will hear these petitions, because this is your desire also, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. This has been produced by Kathleen Pearl, kdpirlministries.org. Please, you are welcome to take these teachings and share them with others, as long as you keep them in the context of which they were given. May you be richly blessed. Goodbye now.